Okay, so Saturday night, bye Gary. Only just got back a couple days ago from visiting the monasteries in Europe. Was away for 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks. And brought Ajahn Kurunadamo back. So I think we're both still rather discombobulated. So the yeah, 8 hour time difference. So the body is telling me that it's middle of the night, or, well, guess what is it, 8 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I should be just waking up soon. So, but yes, going and, of course, visiting Ajahn Amaro, spending time with him, keeping that connection going. Also going and visiting Chithurst, where Ajahn Hingsako is the abbot, another Abhay Giri connection. See, I did his training here. There's Anagarika, novice. His first 5 years, pretty much all here. So, also Ajahn Kachana is helping out at Chithurst as well. So it's there's connections with people, and I went to the monastery in Portugal where Ajahn Vajiro is the abbot there, and I mean, I've known him since he was a novice, and now he's over 40 years as a monk. So some of these connections go back a long time, and it's nice to have connections with community. But it's also interesting to see the, say, the different expressions of how people are living the kind of monastic form. I mean, it's on a certain level, it's okay, Theravada Buddhism, Thai forest tradition, Ajahn Chah disciples. There's certain nuances that are a bit different, and it's nice to see how the teaching and the training expresses itself differently, but also expresses itself in a similar way, or a very, the foundations of the practice are so similar and fundamental. Because for ourselves, what are those fundamentals of practice? What are the fundamentals of of train, how do we train ourselves? And, you know, I think back to Ajahn Chah and how he trained his own community. And there was, of course, a lot of emphasis on the basic simplicity. And that, I don't know how many times I heard the phrase as a young monk and as a ongoing training in Thailand, Ajahn Chah's monasteries, is to eat little, sleep little, practice a lot. I mean, it's those are the fundamentals, and it's the basics of sense restraint in order that one can have an alertness of mind that's able to see itself. Because fundamentally, we even though we live in these bodies, live in these minds, we're kind of strangers to them. Don't really recognize very clearly how what is it that is the conditions that support our well-being and happiness, and what is it that supports our kind of suffering and confusion, and why do we keep contributing to the conditions that kind of tangle us up in more discontent, more confusion, more suffering. So that simplicity is so important, and of course that's can be picked up as a theme, whether one is a monastic or a layperson, and that fundamental simplicity, a composing of the senses, so that one is reflecting on how it works, because on a certain level, I mean, people can, and there's been plenty of people come to Abhaya Giri, and you know, why do you make life so complicated? Why is this monastery so complicated? And any monastery really. Because there is a tendency. One is there is a tendency to measure things through ideals. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be agitated. So therefore, I don't want to have any impingement. I don't want to be contacted by anything that's going to create any kind of either liking or disliking, wanting or not wanting. I don't want to have any of that contact because I don't want to be stirred up. But the reality is we're born in these bodies and minds, and we experience the world around us, and we there are these senses of sight, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, the thought and feeling process itself of the mind. These function, and whether we are in a monastery or not, whether it's even if it's a quiet period in the monastery, we can go back to our kutis in the forest and be by ourselves, but still carry the world with us. Our memories of past events, conversations, interactions, keep replaying those over and over again, or we can worry about or project into the future, worrying about the future, projecting into the future, anticipation into the future. What's it going to be like? Even if it's not even a whole lot of, a worry or fear, but still just that kind of the mind wanting to have something to chew on. So it's this. The practice is really about the inner awareness, the quality of knowing that we have to foster, and letting, being willing to let go. When I first came into the hall for the evening puja, I was feeling really dull and disoriented, and just during the sitting, just okay, this is what it's like now. Knowing that and letting it go, knowing that and letting it go, and then there's an ease that comes into the mind as a clarity settles, and that's just a function of awareness. It's not me, and it's just that the fundamental nature of awareness of being. Returning to this quality of knowing, and it—that's what gains momentum in the mind. So it's learning how to trust that. And of course, one has to put effort into it. One has to, but the effort can't be kind of striving and forcing and pushing. Or trying to force the mind to be in some particular ideal state. It's just being willing to stay with the knowing. And you keep doing this, you really learn how to trust that. That's why, and that's really a fundamental faith. And of course, it's as we return to that over and over again, that is the application of wisdom. In the teaching that the Buddha gives on the five spiritual powers, five spiritual faculties, sandha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya, faith, effort, energy, mindfulness, concentration or settling of the mind, samadhi, and wisdom. I think one of the qualities that tends to maybe mystify us or is that quality of faith, but it is the first quality that the Buddha points to in this cultivation of the faculties, which are lead to growth on the path. And it's not the faith of belief or having a belief system or having it's that sense of trust in the path, trust in the Dhamma, trust in the nature of awareness and the nature of the Dhamma, so that there is that sense of it's not thought out or it's not conceptualizing it as a view, as a ideal. It's just a fundamental trust, so that that's when the mind and the heart leans into the Dhamma. It leans toward the Dhamma, and that's where of course these faculties feed each other, they support each other, they kind of to encourage each other. But I think recognition of being willing to explore what does it mean to say faith in Buddhism. Faith in because usually when we say when the Buddha defines what saddha, what faith is, it's sort of faith, basically just faith in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and it's much more and the kind of faith that the Buddha is pointing to, again, it's not that doctrinal faith, but a faith in the fundamental quality that this Dhamma, this teaching, is about the ending of suffering, and is about awakening, and so that trust, or that there is a possibility there, and there is a path, and there are those who have practiced this path of awakening, and there is the ability of the human heart to awaken and to realize truth, and that's. That's an extremely it's kind of a fundamental, kind of non-verbal, but it conditions our willingness to put forth effort, our willingness to be mindful, to be present, to reestablish awareness and attention. To not get lost in our proliferations and our worries and our fears nursing our irritations and our grudges, and a willingness to and trust that this mind, this heart, when it settles and rests in awareness, that's where it is most complete or healthy, or that's where its true well-being is. Because oftentimes when we think of samadhi, you know, we're thinking of some particular state. I've got to get my samadhi together, or I've got to put forth more effort so I can get better samadhi, which is, you know, fair enough. Definitely, you know, on the scale of things in the world, it's certainly a good thing to do. But as long as we're coming from that perspective, there's always a sense of self, a sense of me, and a sense of lack that it's coming from, or a sense of, in the sense that we feel we have to achieve and be something. And that's not very peaceful, actually. But to really recognize that when the mind is willing to immerse itself in awareness, or immerse itself with knowing and drop everything else, the mind settles. And as I said, when Ajahn Sumedho once asked Ajahn Chah what samadhi was, what is, and Ajahn Chah sort of say, much to Ajahn Sumedho's surprise, samadhi is a holiday for the heart, and which isn't how we feel, because when we feel we have to attain, make the mind peaceful, it's not much of a holiday. It's a real burden. So to recognize that it's just the willingness to rest in that, resting in the knowing, resting in the fundamental awareness itself, and letting everything else drop away. And of course, that's where wisdom or discernment manifests itself, is in clarity. I'm just seeing things clearly, seeing things in their true nature. Yatha bhuta jnana dasanam, knowledge and vision of the way things truly are. So it's not some kind of intellectual feat, but it's just seeing things clearly. This is skillful, this is unskillful. This is fundamentally wholesome. This is unwholesome. This is peaceful. This is sublime. These are being able to see that clearly. Oh, this is, when the Buddha says this is peaceful, this is sublime, the stilling of all formations. It's that letting things go to stillness without going in and stirring things up all the time or messing with the with truth. It's a willingness to see it clearly. So you know, it's how we hold the practice more what conditions how we what we experience or what the fruits of the practice, as opposed to, say, how much time, how much, say even how much effort we put in, because sometimes we can be incredibly diligent, but just stir ourselves up all the time. Or I remember early days of being a monk and meeting somebody who'd been practicing for quite a few years. And they kept a record, you know, a detailed record of how many hours, how many minutes of each day they pray. And they were always forced themselves to practice more. But they weren't peaceful. It ended up just roping and leaving. Because it isn't the quantity of practice that's important, it's the quality. So that paying attention to how we're holding the practice, how we're holding the Dhamma, how we're holding this perception of self. It always has to be held with a sense of not grasping, not clinging, being willing to know something clearly and then to let it go. And of course, that's what Ajahn Chah was. He's just laughing at us who were complicating ourselves so much, complicating practice so much. And I don't know why you make it so complicated. It's only two things you need to do: know and let go. And of course, that's not easy to do, because it really does take this balance of fundamental trust, a sense of balanced energy, and a clarity of how one applies awareness and attention, an actual interest and willingness to settle, to immerse the heart in being still and being peaceful, and seeing that appreciating clarity. Because and it's not that we don't have wisdom or discernment. It's not that we don't have clarity. It's just we keep covering it over. We keep missing the point. And so this is the practice is returning to the fundamentals and learning how to trust it. So I offer that for reflection this evening.